Awakening Media presents Purification of the Soul by Imam Suhaib Webb.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salim taslima kathira. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask that the peace and blessings of Allah be upon Sayyidina Muhammad, our Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and family members, and those who follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the end of time. Inshallah, we begin a series on Islah al-Qulub, or what's commonly known as Tazkiyatun Nafs. And I hope inshallah ta'ala that we can get a broader understanding of the concept of Islah. Because many times when we discuss the topic purification of the soul, Tazkiyatun Nafs or Islah al-Qulub, we discuss it in a way that's almost like a tunnel. And many times what happens is when people leave such sessions, they completely focus upon themselves. And they leave those sessions thinking that they've reached the goal, that purifying the soul is the goal. But tonight, inshallah ta'ala, as we discuss the concept of al-Islah, Islah means reformment. You will see that Islah al-Nufus, purification of the souls, or Islah al-Nafs, purification of the soul, is a means and a goal. It is a goal, but also it is a means to greater goals. It is not a goal within itself. And if it is approached in that manner, then the goal is not reached. This requires maybe some thinking upon your part, inshallah ta'ala. So Islah and nafus is a means and a goal, and also it, if it's not approached in this way, then the complete purification of the soul is not there. And inshallah ta'ala will explain that in some detail, inshallah. First of all, what is Islah? Islah, it means to أن تحول الشيء الفاسد إلى شيء صالح. To change something which is corrupted and spoiled to something which is reformed and upright and good. Islah. This is the linguistic definition of Islah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reform their actions, meaning He will take the evil actions and turn them into good actions and reward them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will make islah of their deeds. In the Islamic context, perhaps the definition of islah will surprise us. And also, if we take this complete definition of islah, it will unite the hearts of the Muslims, inshaAllah. Because we have different aspects of the Muslim ummah who focus on different aspects of Islah. For example, our brothers from the Islamic movements, perhaps they focus on the societal aspects of Islah. Our brothers and sisters who work maybe on Tazkiyatun Nafs and the soul, Islah al-Nufus. And sometimes what happens is we begin to fight. My Islah is better than your Islah. My islah is more important than your islah. Wallahu a'lam. But when we look at the complete definition of islah, we can understand that each of us, insha'Allah ta'ala, is on khayr min Allah. Is on good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this will unite our hearts instead of dividing our hearts. And that's why one of the keys to the unity of the Muslims is understanding Islam correctly. According to the Islamic definition, al-islah means to change insan al-fasid ila insan salih. To change people who are corrupted to people who are righteous. أو المجتمع الفاسد, or a community which is evil to a community which is righteous. أو الأمة الفاسدة إلى أمة صالحة, or an entire nation which is corrupted, that it will be changed into a nation which is righteous. Now you can see, subhanAllah, the definition is wide. And it involves many, many aspects of society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra, Surah Bani Israel, He provided us an example of what will happen if we leave Islah, if we leave this correcting and reforming things amongst ourselves. In the nation of Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنَ وَلَتَعْلُونَّ عُلُوًّا كَبِيرًا فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ أُولَاهُمَا بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدًا فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the nation of Moses, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, as Umar al-Khattab, he used to say, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing other nations, never forget that He's actually addressing the Muslims, the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So indirectly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us. And He says, and we ordained for the people of the children of Israel, that indeed you will commit evil in the land twice. And thereafter you will become exalted, you will see yourself uluwan. Then Allah says, then we will send upon you our servants who are strong in power and great in might, and they will enter into your homes and destroy you. And indeed, the promise of Allah, or this promise, is completed. Maf'ula. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some very eerie hadith on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that upon hearing them and reading them, they have to awaken the deepest aspects of the heart of the Muslim in today's time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Imam al-Sayyuti rahimahullah ta'ala said this hadith is hasan. Listen to this hadith, subhanAllah. And think about the condition of Muslims today. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And this lam, it means wallahi. Wallahi, you must invite to the good. And wallahi, you must forbid the evil. Our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will empower who over you? Shararakum. The worst from your nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them your sultan, your leaders. And the best of you, of your nation, will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not answer the dua. Imam al-Tirmidhi, he relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي لَتَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ لَتَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And subhanAllah, the Arabic language is very strong. لَمَ التَّوْكِيدُ وَنُونَ التَّوْكِيدُ. Wallahi, wallahi, you must invite to the good. And wallahi, wallahi, you must forbid the evil. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send azab upon you. And you will supplicate to Him, فَلَا يُسْتَجَابَ لَهُ. And He will not answer your dua. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he is addressing us, this ummah, his ummah, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Let's look at the scope of islah, under the shade of islah nufus, and we can come to an important conclusion, that islah nufus, purification of the soul, is a juz min ajza'il islah. That purification of the soul is apart from the complete concept of islah. It is not islah in itself in its complete form. It is a part of islah. And this is sometimes where we get confused and we make mistakes. And sometimes where it led to division amongst ourselves. That the purification of the soul and the working on the soul to get close to Allah Azza wa Jal and to be His beloved inshaAllah ta'ala is a part of the total scope of al-islah. It is not islah in itself. And in fact, we can say, if only somebody works on this aspect without going to the others, inshallah, they will be rewarded. إِلَّا مَنَ أَطَلَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ inshallah. But those who go for the entire comprehensive understanding of islah, then they can safely say that they completed the islah. We can understand purification of the soul in three ways. I'll give you three examples. Number one, if you want to drive a car, what do you need? in North America. What do you need? A license. So a license is a goal. And it's a means. But if you have a license, you're still driving? What do you have to do? A lot of people walking with a license. 4 years of the Republicans put a lot of people walking on the streets. Couldn't resist. So, I have a license, but am I driving? The license is a goal, but is it the entire goal or an aspect of the overall goal? It's an aspect. So if when I drive, I need to do it. Fadal. You need the car, then you need the keys, then you drive, and then there you go. The same thing with tazkiyat al-nafs, or islah al-qulub. It's a part of greater goals, and itself is a goal. Number two, if you have the nicest computer in the world, you have to do what? You have to plug it in. You have to put the software. You have to do so many things. You have the computer, but the computer is not the end of all things. It's a part of greater goals. Number three, talents. Many Muslims, subhanAllah, have talents. But if we don't utilize these talents, they're there. We have reached them. But if we don't utilize them, if we don't actualize them in our life, then we haven't completed them. The same now with tazkiyatun nafs. Tazkiyatun nafs, ahimma shay fil Islam. The most important thing in Islam we can say is this tazkiyah. But itself is a part of greater goals. It is a means and a goal at the same time. Do you understand this? Everybody, inshallah, got it? And this is very important to understand tazkiyatun nafs in this way. So we can know where we're headed. Not just islahu qulub for the sake of islahu qulub. Islahu qulub limadha? Why? Because there are other things that need to be taken care of. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he alluded to this in a hadith which is authentic. When he said, alayhi salatu salam, ala wa inna fil jasadi mudghah, idha salahat aw saluhat, salaha al jasadu kullu, wa idha fasadat, fasad al jasadu kullu, ala wa hiya al qalb. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-habib alayhi salatu salam, he said that indeed in the body there's a piece of flesh. If it's sound, what? The whole body is. So this piece of flesh, if it's pure, the goal is reached, it will lead to other goals. Is what? The purification of the entire body. And if it's corrupted, the whole body is corrupted. Again, it's a small piece of flesh. Mudgha. Like mudgha is like if you chew a piece of gum, how it looks when your kid takes it out and they sleep at night and get it in their hair. This is mudgha. So this piece of flesh is like this. But it affects the entire body. And on a greater scale, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Muslims, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, the example of the believers is like what? Jasad wahida, like one body. So we can look at it even in a greater scale, that if the hearts of the ummah are corrupted, and if the hearts of the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are corrupted, then they have no one to blame for the condition of their ummah but themselves. Some other proofs for this, we'll give the statement of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala about this hadith. Imam An-Nawawi, subhanallah, we learned about him last week. I believe nobody can plan a dars without using the words of some ulama. And one of them is Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. He said that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in the body there's a piece of flesh, if it's whole, the whole body is whole, if it's corrupted, the whole body is corrupted, ala wa hiya al-qalb. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made clear to us that by the purification and the rectification of the heart, then the entire body and everything left will be purified. When we have problems with our wife, when we have problems with our children, when we have problems in the workplace, at school, let us look into our condition first spiritually. What's going on with me today? What's the condition of my faith, of my iman with Allah Azza wa Jal? Ibn Hajr, who they called Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith, the Amir al-Mu'mineen of Hadith. Ibn Hajr, also in Egypt, mashallah. Our Egyptian brothers will be happy. He said, Al-Qalb Amir al-Badin. That the heart is the commander of the body. And the a'da, the body parts, are the soldiers. If the emir is righteous, the soldiers, they will be righteous. If the emir is corrupted, the soldiers, they will be corrupted. But are there some examples in the Quran that islah is more than islahu nafs or islahu al-qalb? And this, subhanAllah, where you'll really broaden maybe, inshaAllah, your understanding of islah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nawara qulubana, inshaAllah. Political islah. Political islah is mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qasas, He describes Fir'aun in detail. And he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن فرعون على في الأرض وجعل أهلها شيعا يستضعف طائفة منهم يذبح أبناءهم ويستحيي نساءهم إنه كان من المفسدين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the fourth verse of Surah Al-Qasas that indeed Fir'aun, he raised himself in the world. He elated himself in the land. And he broke up its people into, subhanAllah, divide and conquer, into sections. Holding down a group of them, killing their sons and allowing their daughters to live. And then Allah said, and this is the opposite of the muslih, is the mufsid. The opposite of islah is fasad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Fir'aun is from mufsidin. He didn't say Fir'aun is mufsid. And this is the miracle of the Quran. Innahu mufsid. But Allah said, min al-mufsidin. Because there were many people with him also who were doing this fasad because he's the leader. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term mufsidin because the opposite of muslihin is mufsidin. Muslihin, those people who reform things. Mufsidin, those people who corrupt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Saba, He says that Bilqis, she says, indeed, قَالَتْ إِنَّ الْمُلُوكِ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةَ أَفْسَدُهَا. She said, indeed, the kings, if they enter into the town, they will corrupt it. These are evil kings, corrupted politicians. The Muslim politician or leader can be found where in the Quran? Who can tell me? يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقُرْنَيْنِ is the opposite, is muslih. Thus we see the scope of islah in the political field. Economic islah is mentioned in the Quran. SubhanAllah, Surah Al-A'raf and Surah Al-Hud, if you read them and you think upon them, and if I read and think upon them, you can see that the Anbiya and these stories were dealing with all type of different social problems, from perversion to economic corruption to shirk, and all of these fell under fasad, and all of them require the antibiotic of amoxicillin? No. The antibiotic of islah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes Shu'aib alayhi salatu salam. وَإِلَى مَدْيَنْ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. To the people of Madian, we send their brother Shu'aib. And what was the message of Shu'aib? أَوْفُ الْكَيْلُ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطُ. Make the measurements with justice. وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Islah in the economic aspect. Number three, moral islah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ. Indeed, I was only sent in a sound hadith to what? To correct the morals of the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives the story of Lut alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives the example of Lut. And we know the story that he came to his people, أَتَأْتُونَ شَهْوَةً, you seek to enjoy your desires upon men rather than women. And then he told them, don't, you know, cause problems in the road. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives their response. They said, bring the azab of Allah if what you say is true. Allahu Akbar. Then his response is interesting. قَالَ رَبِّ انصُرْنِي عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Oh Allah, help me and give me victory over the people who are the opposite of islah.
Thus, Lut alayhi salatu salam is a muslih. And his job as a muslih is to focus on what? The morals. Shu'aib alayhi salatu salam, he was a muslih. His job was to focus on the aqidah. Nobody think that I'm not emphasizing aqidah, but we know aqidah is the give me. The first thing they all said was, wa'burullah, worship Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَا تُرْشِكُ بِي شَيْئًا. But now we're focused on another aspect of the story. And that is what? That Shu'aib alayhi salatu salam is a muslih. His people are mufsideen, and his job is to correct what? Economic issues. Musa alayhi salatu salam is sent to Fir'aun. Fir'aun is mufsid. Musa alayhi salam is muslih. Ulil azm alayhi salam. And his job is to correct this tyrant. فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. When he said, I am Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the point now that we want to make? Is that the prophets, nobody reached a pure state of heart than the Anbiya. Ma'soom. And their tazkiyah is greater than anyone else's tazkiyah. To the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in describing the role of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. His job is to purify, because he's pure. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ صلى الله عليه وسلم. But did they stop there? Did they stop with just إِصْلَحُ nufus? Or as we say, in the hood, they took it to another level. They took it to another level. Economic issues, political issues, behavioral issues, social issues, family issues. Issues amongst the ummah itself. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu solved them, as we talked, for 13 sessions. Thus the islah, as we said earlier, of the heart is a juz, is a part from the entire concept of islah. And this doesn't mean that somebody can juggle all of these parts. Of course, our nature might be to focus on tazkiyat an-nafs. Maybe someone else's nature is to focus on islah al-aql. How can somebody make islah al-aql? With what? With ilm. Because al-jahl is mufsid. Wal-alim insha'Allah fi hazi khlas lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala وَيَعْمَلُ بِمَا عَمَلْ وَيَعْمَلُ بِمَا عَلِمْ. Then this person is muslih. So everybody has their focus. One time Imam Malik, he was an interesting person. He used to wear the nice clothes. And he used to conduct himself in a very, very, very dignified manner. Not arrogant, but dignified. So one of the people of Zuhud, they wrote him a letter. And Malik, he was known for Zuhud in what? In his akhlaq. Abdurrahman bin Qasim, I heard last week a narration, also another narration of one of the students of Malik, given by Imam Ash-Sha'rani. He said that Abdurrahman bin Qasim, he said, I studied 20 years without Imam Malik. 18 years I studied adab. And 2 years I took knowledge. 18 years of adab. So Malik, his zuhd, is in his akhlaq, his behavior, how he deals with people. And one day a man, he sent Imam Malik a letter. And he said, you know, you're not zahid enough. You need to wear shabby clothes, should fast more, should pray in the night. You're too busy teaching and learning. SubhanAllah, Imam Malik radiallahu anhu, he responded to him in a beautiful letter, which all the jama'ah in Islamic work, they should read this letter. He wrote back to him and said what? He said, first of all, jazakallah khair. But he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has distributed actions amongst his servants like he distributed rain. Some servants, they got the risk of what? Zuhid. Some servants of Allah, they got the risk of knowledge, the provision of knowledge. Some of the servants of Allah, they got the provision of jihad, like Khalid bin Walid. Some of the servants of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, they got the provision to make islah with the Muslimin, to bring the Muslims together. Some of the servants of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, they got risk in something else. He said, فَأَمَا أَنَا أَنَا عَلَى خَيْرَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Pertaining to me, Imam Malik, alhamdulillah, I know inshallah I'm on goodness from Allah. And I thank Allah for that. And also I know that you're on good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fajazakallahu khair, assalamu alaikum. He's on good, I'm on good, alhamdulillah. Some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they would come to the Prophet and say, "Ayo a'mal al-afdal." What's the best action? They would say, the Prophet would say to that Sahabi, "As-salatu ala waqtiha." Prayer on its, in its time. Another companion, "Birru walidain." Another companion of the Prophet ﷺ, he said to be good to parents. The answer is changing because the questioner requires a different answer. Because people are different. So perhaps maybe I focus on tazkiyatun nafs. If I see somebody that's more active, I shouldn't feel any adawah to them. I shouldn't feel any hatred to them. Maybe as a brother, I focus on the issues of aqidah and sunnah and bid'ah and fiqh. Alhamdulillah, akhi, anta ala khair. Inshallah, you are on good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this person on good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this person is on good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, we shouldn't split ourselves and make adawah, hatred, and an enmity amongst ourselves about things which are all from Allah. And that by my nature, I incline to. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ لَطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who made me this way. So, إِصْلَاحُ قُلُوب is indeed, they can say, the most important or one of the most important parts of إِصْلَاح, along with إِصْلَاحُ الْعَقْلِ. But it's not the complete picture. And that's why it's important today when we begin to talk about تَسْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ or إِصْلَاحُ قُلُوب. We realize that it's not the only thing. After this program, inshallah, we should see what? An improvement in our marital relations. That's the biggest test. The most difficult test is the one that we live with. To be good to them, to be caring to them, to be loving to them. Because the marriage is like Denny's, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So after, inshallah, this program, I should see maybe my marital relations are better. My relations with my children are better. My relations with other brothers, inshallah, are better. It has to go to practical goals. It itself is not a goal. Okay, now my soul is clean. أعوذ بالله هو أعلم بمن اتقى فلا تزكوا أنفسكم هو أعلم بمن اتقى. Don't say that you're spiritually purified. Allah only knows. It could be غرور. But there has to be some practical outcomes to iman increasing. That's why the ulama said something beautiful. As the barometer of faith increases, the barometer of sin goes down. And relationships improve. Spiritually, I should feel better. I shouldn't be so pessimistic all the time. So the point that I want to make in this rather long introduction is that islah al-qulub is a juz, is a part from the overall islah. And for us here in North America, it should lead to practical goals and means. It is a goal and it also is a means which leads to other goals. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us thabat in that, inshaAllah. Islah has some shurut. Purification of the soul or purification of anything, Islamically, has conditions. The first condition is knowledge. Al-ilm. Umar bin Abdulaziz, he said that some people who don't know will try to do something good, and because they don't know, they'll create more harm. For example, sometimes you hear the story of a guy who, you know, he wants to be a fireman. He walks by a fire, he decides to run in the building. One time a brother came to me and said, "America is like a house on fire, akhi." MashaAllah, the brother was baligh jiddin yani. تشبيه البليغ. America is like a house on fire and we're like fire department. You know, the fire department. We just run into the house. I told him, yes, but every house has blueprints, akhi. If you don't know where you're going, you might kill yourself and you might kill the people in the house. العلم. العلم قبل العمل. فعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله. واستغفر لذنبك. Know that there's no God but Allah. Then, make istighfar. Sufyan ibn Unayya rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked about the importance of knowledge. He said, look in the Quran, Allah always said, i'lamu, 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 know, know, have knowledge, have knowledge. Then he mentioned al-amal. Because they say al-ilm, al-ilm, imam al-amal. That knowledge is the imam of actions. Knowledge has to be there. And knowledge is found in this verse, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. Say, this is my way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad's way. I invite to Allah ala basira. And the ulama said basira is two things, knowledge of deen and knowledge of the place. Al-ilm. For example, somebody that doesn't know, let's take medicine. If you practice medicine in North America without a license, what type of crime is it? A state crime or federal crime? It's a federal offense. And medicine is like a fatwa. New Muslim comes to the masjid, he asks a brother, brother doesn't know, he tells him something is haram, is halal. Maybe it's not halal, maybe mustahab, maybe makruh. But he tells him haram. He goes home, he wrecks his relationship with his non-Muslim family members. Then after a week he says, yeah, I don't think I like this religion. It's hard. And here's Mufti Saab, still in the masjid, drinking his soda. And this brother is going through it at his home. Because why? The answer. You don't qualify, akhi. So don't go into it. Haram, 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 haram. قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ مُحَمَّدْ أَوْ صَحَابَ أَوْ قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي. In the Quran, Allah says, only Allah made haram. Only your Lord made haram. The second thing is I shouldn't make islah based on suspicion. For example, I didn't see a brother a few days in the masjid. Oh, I knew it, I knew it. I knew he wouldn't last. Or I didn't see a sister. I had told you her hijab started falling back like that. It's a clear sign, sister. Wallahi. She's lost. Maybe on accident. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day was giving the khutbah in the masjid. And a man, he came into the masjid and he sat down. This hadith is sahih. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was watching him. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him what? Did he say to him, قُمْ فَصَلِّي. Stand and pray. No, he said, أَصَلَيْتَ أَمْ لَا. Did you pray or not? The ulama said, why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't want that guy to feel he suspicions him. Even though the Prophet is watching him, he's in the masjid, he's on the minbar, he sees him. He didn't say to him, stand and pray. He said, did you pray? Because the da'wah is never based on اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْدَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٍ, except in extreme situations where maybe suspicion is needed. But in general, no. The other condition of islah that we want to talk, especially when we talk about islah al-qulub, is that it should be in agreeance with Islam. The means and methods which I use to purify myself and get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my family and my community should agree with Islam. And one statement about this, Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, we were a people who were the lowest of the low. فَعَزَّزْنَا اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised us, raised our status with Islam. And then he said, radiallahu anhu, فَمَهْمَا نَطْلُبُ الْعِزَّةَ بِغَيْرِهِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهِ. And whenever we seek greatness with anything other than Islam, will be the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring us back to our low condition. So the means and methods should be the Islamic methods in agreement with the Quran and the Sunnah and the ijma' of the ulama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. And that brings us to the second aspect. In issues, or the third shurut of islah, in issues where we have differences in islah, we should refer it to qualified scholarship. We should go back to the people who know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِ الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Excuse me. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger and those in authority over you. If they obey on Allah and obey His Messenger, obey them and follow them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Nisa, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ وَلَوْ رُدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَأُولِ الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, and this is some ulama said about the affair of Hafsa, when the rumor was spread, or the affair of Aisha, excuse me, that the Prophet had divorced his wives. Surah Al-Ahzab. Some people said he divorced his wives. And this verse came and said, if you would have referred this issue to the people of, to the Prophet himself or the people of knowledge, those people istinbat, who can take the ruling out for you, then you wouldn't have been in this situation, this confusing. So in issues where we have differences, we should refer to the people of knowledge. How can we do so now? Because as they say, the people of knowledge are few. Alhamdulillah, we have imams in our community. Alhamdulillah, they study. But remember, your question is not an order at McDonald's. And I hope if you read Fast Food Nation, don't eat in McDonald's. But an example. Sometimes we want the answer now. Even in Azhar, subhanAllah, they have an Azhar. It's open. You can go and ask a fatwa. It doesn't give you the answer in 5 minutes. Because it's a fatwa. It's going to take time. So you have to wait and be patient. If, of course, it's an extreme situation, you explain to the sheikh. And these two aspects of Islah. Number one, that they should agree with Islam. Number two, that it should be based on qualified scholarship from the fuqaha al-ulama. Sheikh Qaradawi said, if you reach these two aspects of Islah, then you actualized what? وَمَنْ يَعْتَسِمْ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ الْاِعْتِسَامِ بِاللَّهِ. That you are now clinging to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the best that you can. The third or fourth condition, excuse me, is to begin where? When we talk about this concept of Islah, and it's huge, huge horizon, but it has to have a beginning. So where's the beginning? It's you. So the ulama said that the Islah has to begin on the person himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So Allah Azza wa Jalla ja'ala minhum insha'Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He will not change a people till they change what's in themselves. And Imam Qurtubi, he relates a hadith on behalf of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on behalf of Allah Azza wa Jal. Hadith which is called Hadith Qudsi. Listen to this hadith. Rasulullah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, by my might, by my greatness, and by my elevated status, which is above the arsh, there is no one from the townspeople or the homes or a person from the Bedou, the desert, who is upon what is hated from ma'asi, from obedience to Allah, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that this person changes their condition to what I love upon my obedience, except that I will change what was due to them from my adab to my love and mercy. And he said, there is not a person from these people, from the town, from the homes, from the Bedouin, who is upon what I love, and they change to something that I hate from my disobedience, except I will change what was due to them from my mercy and my rahmah to my adab and to my punishment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. An interesting note about this verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. If you read the classical tafsir of this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'll translate it in English, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not change the condition of a people until they change what's in themselves. If you read the old scholars like Al-Tabari, Ibn Kathir, Al-Qurtubi, Al-Suyuti, they looked at the verse in the opposite way that we look at it. They said, if somebody changes this ni'mah of Allah that Allah has given us, Allah will punish them. And now the contemporary Mufassir says, we are being punished until we change ourselves to be good Muslims. The opposite tafsir. Because in those days, the Muslims were in a different condition than they are now. Inshallah, we'll begin with some steps to begin in the islah of the nafus. And hopefully the series, inshallah ta'ala, will cover some steps tonight, how to have this islah of nafus. And tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, we'll talk about the nafs in some simple detail, inshallah, because I don't think we'll have time this evening. And then we'll talk about some of the obstacles which
present themselves as barriers to our souls in this individual effort. Number one, there are many terms used, for example, tasawwuf, used to discuss this topic. I believe the best term that can be used is the term used by Allah in His book, At-Tazkiyah. So inshallah ta'ala, don't take it as a political agenda or I'm up to something or anything like that. But I like to use the term that was used by Allah Azza wa Jalla. At-Tazkiyah. Yuzakkihim wa yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wal-hikmah. Tazkiyatun nafs, which is known as purification of the soul. And sometimes we make the mistake and say spirituality. Spirituality is a dangerous term because it's very ambiguous. Whereas tazkiyatun nafs is very clear. Purification of the soul. The meaning of tazkiyah is the mastar zakka yuzakki tazkiyatan. It has two important meanings, which inshallah also will help us broaden our understanding of tazkiyatun nafs. Again, sometimes we leave with this tunnel understanding of tazkiyah. Okay, now I have to go home. I'm not going to talk to anyone. My wife's just going to have to be patient with me. No doubt for some time, as Sheikh Said Hawa, he mentioned that as-samt, to be quiet, is one of the arkan of mujahidah. It's one of the aspects of tazkiyah to nafs. But also, as-samt used to speak with his wife, used to smile with his wife, used to speak to his friends, used to say salam to his friends. And nobody was more pure than him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So number one, it has two meanings. Number one is to purify. Number two is to grow. To purify and to grow. And to grow, and Sheikh Islahi, Yusuf Islahi, the great scholar from the Indian subcontinent, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him, he said, subhanallah, it doesn't mean to grow only to grow, but it means to grow in a beneficial and positive way. Because sometimes growth, for example, cancer, is a growth. But it's a type of growth which is not positive. So he said you have to realize that namat, here it means what? A positive growth. Something that brings benefit to people. So to purify and to grow. And thus we have the third pillar of Islam known as az-zakah. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَارِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَاهِرْهُمْ بِهَا وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. Take from them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sadaqah. Here as-sadaqah means zakah. Why? To purify them and to zakkihim. And to zakkihim means to make them grow in a positive way. So if we focus on this term and these two meanings, we can come to an important practical conclusion about tazkiyah. No longer is it something ambiguous in my mind, tazkiyah to nafs, I'm gonna, you know, I don't know, maybe levitate on the ground or something like that. Alhamdulillah, if that happened with one of the awliya, alhamdulillah, karamat to awliya, everybody believe in that. But I'm sure, at least for myself, we're far away from that. Even to rise off my bed to pray Fajr, let alone to rise off the ground, is difficult enough for me. So number one, to purify my soul. And number two, that it should grow. So this means two things. What the ulama said, takhliya wa tahliya. Takhliya means to take something off too. Get rid of it. At-tahliya, what they call jewelry in Arabic? Hulya, yani, to decorate yourself with something. So you take something off, and then you decorate yourself with something. What do you take off? The evil qualities that you have, the negative qualities in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, even in your akhlaq. Then you adorn yourself with the akhlaq of al-mu'mineen wa salihin. Wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Like you're in a mirror, you take off some hasad, you take out some ghiba, you take out some arrogance. Of course, we'll talk about this requires a lot of work. Then you slowly replace it with hilm, with, you know, compassion, layna, mercy, rahmah, focusing. So we can understand now that as I work on the islah of my soul or tazkiyat al-nafs, I will be ridding myself of things. And then I will be adding things. So it means that this condition requires al-istiqamah. Now subhanAllah, if we look at tazkiyah like this, now we can say, why do ulama always talk about istiqamah? Because to keep doing it requires istiqamah.
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. And now we can understand why every day, at a minimum of 17 times a day, we ask in Allah Azza wa Jal, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Keep us on this way of al-istiqama. And this idea is found in the verse of Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْ زَادَهُمْ هُدَى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those people, and notice he used افتعلا, اهتدوا, افتعلا. Sheikh Sha'rawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said about اكتسب, لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت, that the form of the verb is افتعلا. افتعلا is a form which means the person is working. So the sinner, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them, why? اكتسبت يا شيخ. You was working in sin. And the one who wanted hidayah, اهتدوا, افتعوا. He wanted hidayah, she wanted hidayah. So what? Whoever take one step to Allah, Allah take 10 steps to them. Whoever walks to Allah, Allah runs to them. But you gotta do something to get the process started. And this is the beauty of the Quran. How Allah Azza wa Jal used sometimes these verbs. Maybe وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا, nobody thought about it before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Sheikh Sha'rawi rahimahullah ta'ala, to remind us, اهْتَدَوْا افْتَعَلَ. افْتَعَلَ means what? Working. That this person sought hidayah. They wanted hidayah. They didn't just stay home and say, oh Allah, guide me please. Okay, this Sunday night or this Saturday night, temptation, Oakland, Shahrukh Khan is coming. I'll go there. Allah will guide me. I ask Allah to guide me and I'm there. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَاتِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلِيَ الْعَظِيمِ. In one Muslim country, there's one nasheed singer. SubhanAllah, not nasheed Islami. His songs are really bad, but in the beginning of his concert, Asma al-Husna. He said, well, I want Allah to put barakah in this gathering. I want Allah to bless us. اهتدوا أخي. You have to seek it. You can't play with it. You can't joke with it. You can't tease with it. This is Allah's deen. So you have to take a step to it. You have to work for it. And if you work for it, look at the reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, زَادَهُمْ هُدَى. Those people who work for it, we'll increase them in guidance. وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. And we will give them taqwa. And the ulama said, this has four meanings. Number one, Allah will give them khasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the reward in this dunya. And وَوَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. Allah will protect them from the hellfire and azab in the hereafter. They said also it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them tawfiq to good, do good. And he four things. And the last one they said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make clear for them, إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make clear for them what's right and what's wrong. Just one step to Allah, look. Four things. And some ulama said, for those of you who became Muslim, something beautiful. That this verse was for the people who were Christians who became Muslim. Alhamdulillah, you can tell them that. The first step towards tazkiyah, and then inshaAllah ta'ala will stop. The first step after we talked about now the shurut of tazkiyah is iman in Allah. The most important concept, the ulama said, the most important thing which will bring about the purification of the soul is iman. I didn't say aqeedah. Again, aqeedah is a term alhamdulillah the ulama used. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used iman. Now unfortunately the word aqeedah became used in some political ways to divide the ummah. Somebody says, your aqeedah this, oh he must be from this group. Oh, I don't like these people. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Hada akhuk. This is your brother in Islam, akhi. Your sister in Islam. Maybe you differ with them. Maybe have some differences. But don't let it split the hearts. So we use the word iman. Faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does iman mean? Iman has many meanings. One is to be secure. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. Surah Quraysh. Also, iman means something that you trust. What's the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca? Al-Amin. From Amana. So iman has this meaning of hope, trust, and certainty. Iman in Allah. And when we say iman in Allah, we mean the belief in Allah as it was given to us by the Anbiya and the Prophets. At-Tawheed. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is as we understand it. And unfortunately now, again, because of the conditions of Muslims losing our identity, we begin to identify ourselves with groups before we identify ourselves as the Ummah. But I should identify myself first as a member of the Ummah of Muhammad. Perhaps I'm in an Islamic group. Why? This Islamic group is for the purpose of bettering the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam only. The Ummah is not to better my group. My group is to better the Ummah, to be a service to the Ummah, to help the Ummah, but not to split the Ummah or to bring the Ummah down. And unfortunately now, for the most part, Aqidah is taught in a way that it was not taught by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the Quran. Wallahi al-Azim, I learned Aqidah this way. Aqidah is taught as though it is engineering. Aqidah is taught from the point of argumentation. Ana ashari wa huwa salafi. We're going to talk about, according to me, this means this, according to him it means this. Why? Because this is kinaya, we don't believe in majaz, this. And what happened is, the students of knowledge left the halaqa, that their hearts are amazed with Allah, and in love with Allah, and close to Allah. No, their hearts hate their brothers. And they left with jidal. Oh, I can't wait till I run into one of the mubtadi'een, man. I'm going to put him in check, akhi. I can't wait till I run into that guy, man. I heard from my sheikh this important aspect in balagha. I'm going to tear him apart. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. And the Rasulullah said, I can promise the one a place in paradise, a home in paradise, who argues and knows he's on the truth, but he leaves it. Ajidal, yani. And that's why Imam Malik and the ulama, they used to say, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends sharr for his servant, he opens the door of jidal for him and closes the door of amal for him. But nowadays, aqidah is taught in this way, to make jidal. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught aqidah to create what? The mu'min billah. The believer in Allah. One who trusts Allah. One who's close to Allah. One وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَّدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Imam Malik, he didn't narrate the hadith about the hand of Allah, about the face of Allah, about the laughing of Allah. Why? Because he knew that the common people, they couldn't understand these hadith and it would create fitna and shiqaq in the ummah. But nowadays we begin our dars with what? مَا مَعْنَى يَدُ اللَّهِ. What is the meaning of the hand of Allah? يا شيخ أنا دخلت في الإسلام منذ خمس دقائق يا رجل. I became Muslim 5 minutes ago, أخي. I want to know how to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we go to the Quran, and one of the reasons for this is the lack of knowledge of Arabic. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He teaches aqidah in a way through balagha. Through verses, I was talking with the brother as we came here today about one verse we'll talk about now. That illustrate the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that when you read the verse, the only thing you can say is, Subhanallah. And iman ana. I'm nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives this example in the Quran. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. This is fi'lu shart. Whoever associates partners with Allah, فكأنما خر من السماء فتخطفه الطير أو تهوي به الريح في مكان سحيق. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses what's called at-tashbih in balagha. Picture this. Everybody close your eyes because it's tadabbur al-Quran. Close your eyes. Don't be scared. Nobody's got any cameras. Close your eyes and imagine that you've been thrown out of a plane from 35,000 feet above the earth. You have no parachute, you have nothing. You're falling, and suddenly birds come from everywhere and start picking at your skin. Imagine your condition. Because you're falling, you can't think about the birds. Because the birds are biting you, you can't think about falling. You are in a complete state of chaos. Now you can open your eyes. This is what this verse says. Whoever associates partners with Allah is like someone who will be thrown from the heavens and birds will be grabbing them with their claws. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about here? Imam Qurtubi said, for the one who associates partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will be his condition in the day of judgment. Complete chaos. يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَئِذِ لِلَّهِ. He will have no power over himself. He will have no power over his situation. If you look at it in this way, you can only say, Allahu Akbar. Another example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used balagha again in Surah Al-Mulk. Can you imagine, as a human being, trying to walk on your face? Can you imagine your eyes slamming into the pavement? You can't see in front of you. Imam Qurtubi said, you can't see to the right. You can't see to the left. Wallahi, I used to live like this. Wallahi, I know when I wasn't Muslim. The only thing you can see, your eyes hitting the pavement. You can't see in front. You can't see behind. You can't see to the right. You can't see to the left. You can't see behind you. You can't see nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the example of the one who has no iman. Ibn Abbas said, and some people said, this is an akhirah. Ibn Abbas said, la, bal huwa fi dunya. Ibn Abbas said, this person, this is how he will live his life in dunya. And then he says, but what about, and then Allah compares now, for the one who walks straight, ala sirat al-mustaqim, he can see everything. This is the way that the Quran teaches faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The value of faith in Allah, I'm not by any means saying that the qa'ida or the qawa'id of aqidah, like aqidah tahawiyyah, they're not important. Don't take this from this halaqa. But the point is that the aqidah should be taught to people in the way that it was taught through the Quran and through the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll give one example and we'll stop, inshallah, of how this aqidah, if it's taught correctly, can change someone. The example of Musa alayhi salatu salam. Musa alayhi salatu salam, he wasn't born a prophet. He became a prophet in his life. Before he was a prophet, one day he was walking in the street of Egypt and somebody said, hey, this guy is oppressing me. What did he do? He went and hit the guy and he killed him. Then he fled to Midian. Then after he spent some time in Midian, alhamdulillah, we know he married one of the daughters of Shu'aib alayhi salam. Then he went to the desert one day with his wife. And as they were traveling, he saw a fire. We know in Surah Taha and Surah Qasas, he went to that fire. And Ghalib, the famous Urdu poet, he says something amazing. If you doubt the risk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the story of Musa. Musa alayhi salatu salam went to get fire as risk, and he came back with nubuwa. Catch it? He said, if you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't al-raziq, and that his risk is not wasi'a, look at the story of Musa. Musa went to get some fire. What did he get? He came back as a rasul. Because Allah al-razaq. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he became a prophet, what did he tell him? اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّ طَغَىٰ. Because ibtila. Musa alayhi salatu salam, now he goes back to Fir'aun. Fir'aun is not only oppressing one person from the ummah of Musa, he's oppressing the entire ummah of Musa. But Musa alayhi salatu salam, when he goes to him, فَقُولْ لَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَىٰ. We see that the behavior of Musa changed. How did he speak with Fir'aun? Calmly composed. Sheikh Juma'a Amin Abdulaziz al-Askandari, he said that this is the example of true aqidah. It transforms the personality. Look at Malcolm X, look at Yusuf Islam, look at Sahrat al-Sajideen, those people who were magicians. As soon as faith went into the heart in the time of Musa, قَالُوا أَمَنَا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبِّ مُسَى وَهَارُونَ. Immediately transformation, cognitively as well as behavioristically. So as a Muslim, if I think that I'm learning aqidah and I'm growing in my aqidah, but my behavior doesn't change, then I need to check myself. And I finish with the last story to give the dalil for this. Umar al-Ashqar, a great scholar in Jordan, he wrote a series of books on aqidah. Many of you heard this story before. He said, subhanAllah, I went to the ulama and I said, subhanAllah, I found that my iman is weak. SubhanAllah, PhD in aqidah, his iman is weak. Look at the humility of this person, his humbleness. They told him, read and write, read and write, read and write, don't worry. He said, I kept reading, writing, reading, writing, reading, writing, reading, writing, but then I found, subhanAllah, the iman was da'if. So I went to the sheikh, I said, sheikh, still I have this condition. Read and write, 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 read and write. Finally, he said, I read the book of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, who we love, alhamdulillah, Imam Ghazali, Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam An-Nawi, all of them, alhamdulillah, min as-salihin, wa nahnu nuhibbun fi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only thing we should say about ulama, Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman. That's the best thing we can say for them. Unless it's somebody extreme. He said, I came across the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, and those people who maybe don't like Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Taymiyyah had many dreams where he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many even in this room even saw one time the Prophet in their dream? He said, I came across a statement of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, who said, if you want to taste iman, alayka bi kitabillah. If you want to taste faith, if you want to drink from the sweetness of true faith in your heart, then go to the Quran. So we'll stop, inshallah, now. And we discussed a number of things. Number one, the scope of islah. And we discussed that islah al-nufus is apart from the comprehensive understanding of islah. And then we discussed some of the shurut of islah. And we mentioned some of them, that we should have knowledge before we make islah in anything. In da'wah, even in our nafs, even in the community, we should have islah. Number two, we should only use those things which conform to Islamic standards for islah of our nafs. Number three, we should refer our differences to qualified scholarship. If the scholars themselves differ, then we're free to choose from any scholar that we feel most comfortable with. And as Ibn Taymiyyah said, this issue of difference didn't fall under munkar. I can't go to another Muslim and say, you're wrong because the five ulama that said that, I don't like them. You're right, I'm right, alhamdulillah. Because the difference is open. And that we mentioned also, that after this important quality, there are some steps to begin the tazkiyah process. And that last condition was to begin with the self. And then we begin to talk about the steps. And number one is to reinforce our faith with Allah. Now I'll give you some action items you can do, inshallah, this evening. Perhaps one of the greatest surah you can read to strengthen your faith in Allah is Al-Fatiha. That's why when I first moved here, we did Al-Fatiha. Then we did Hujurat, because Al-Fatiha relationship with Allah, Al-Hujurat relationship with each other. If we can have a good relationship with Allah and good relationship with other, alhamdulillah, we have a good community. Another surah though that's very important to read about strengthening faith is Surah Al-An'am, the sixth chapter of the Quran. If you have time, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِدُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. As Allah mentioned in this chapter, if any harm befalls you, the only one who can remove it is Allah. If any good comes to you, know that Allah is the one who controls everything. And when you read the surah, as Ustad Khur Murad, he mentioned, allow it to write itself on your heart. So those are some things you can do, inshallah, this evening, or maybe tomorrow, inshallah. Tomorrow we continue with the steps of tazkiyah. And then we'll begin the first obstacle of this islah nufus, hub al-dunya, the love of this life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send us salawat ala habibina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon our scholars and mashaykh. May Allah forgive them, inshaAllah, and raise their status. Jazakumullahu khairan, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.